You. Good to see you guys. I apologize for being late, but it's a good story. Yesterday, we decided to take out some bushes. It was a nice day, and we decided, my wife and I, doing a little landscaping. Who can do that in February, right? So let's go do it. And at my age, you probably shouldn't be swinging an axe. But I wrenched my back pretty bad. So last night my wife said, you know, I think we've got some muscle relaxants. You should take one. Help you sleep tonight, maybe help you. It's a great idea. So I took one. This morning my wife got up as a normal schedule. She gets up, she does her thing. Then I wake up. She goes, fixes breakfast, have a nice casual breakfast. Well, she did her thing. She woke me up. She goes, fixes breakfast. She comes back a half hour later. I'm still sleeping. She said, you're going to be late. I said, man, I slept great last night. She said, well, did you take the muscle relaxants? I said, I don't know. She said, no, you took Tramadol. So I'm a little shaky this morning. The preacher is on drugs, I think. So that's what happened. I slept in, and I'm kind of going through a little bit of a withdrawal. So pray for me. And if you know what I'm going through, we'll just have a little support system after church. You know, we can talk about it. My name's Todd. I do drugs. But it's great to be here. Good to see you. You've rearranged the place. This is great. Center aisle. That way I can get out of here faster, I guess, in case we need to. But, oh, it's great to be here. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Isaiah chapter 40. Very familiar verse we're going to look at today. A verse that probably we can all quote, right? But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their... They shall mount up with wings like... They shall run and not be... They shall walk and not... Let's close in prayer. I mean, it's a verse we all know, right? A verse that we may have hanging on our wall, we may have on our stationery. A verse that we look at on a regular basis, perhaps, we think about. But how many of us are right now mounting up with wings like eagles? Or running, not growing weary, or walking, not fainting? Some of us, I believe, are probably just limping along, trying to survive, just trying to make it. And I hope by looking at this, and I'm a big passage kind of guy, so I want to look at the entire passage. Because I think just to pull that verse out, we can just feel good, but not really understand what it means and how it impacts our life and what we should do. So we're going to look at the entire passage. We're going to walk through Isaiah chapter 40 and see if we can understand how to mount up with wings like eagles. How to run and not grow weary, and how definitely not to faint as we're walking through life. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, you're a great God to us, and we just thank you for all that you are and all that you do. We thank you for this church, and we just pray right now as we worship you today through your word that you would open the eyes of our hearts, and may your word cut sharply and deeply to the core of what we believe and what we think. And may your spirit come alongside us, parakaleo us, in helping us to act, to grow, to become more like Christ. I thank you in advance what you're going to do in my life today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Are you guys familiar much with Greek mythology? I'm not. Everything I know about it, I learned on Jeopardy. But I know this, that there's this guy named Atlas. Kronos and Atlas were titans, and they led a rebellion against the other gods. And my understanding is they lost. And Zeus, in punishment to Atlas for his rebellion, placed him on the westernmost part of the earth and put upon him the universe. And perhaps you've seen the statue, right, of Atlas at the Rockefeller Center. I think there's a very popular, familiar statue of him like this, right, holding up the universe. His knees are buckled. You can see the ripples in his legs, and he's there, this great god, holding up, straining, though, to hold up the world. As I saw that recently in person, I felt a lot like Atlas. Some of us may feel that as we watch the news, as we see the responsibilities in life, as things going, the weight of the world, the weight of our lives, the responsibility of living in this world that seems to be going in the wrong direction, at least a direction that we don't want to go. And how do we change it? How do we hold it up? How do we stay on to our values? And the weight is just crushing. Can sense that even a little bit, perhaps you understand the context of Isaiah chapter 40. The children of Israel are in bondage. Their hopes, their dreams have all been vanished. There's new leadership coming in, and they don't understand what's going on and what the future looks like. On some sense, they felt deeply responsible because they were warned by the prophets that if they did not repent, if they continued to rebel against God, that he would bring an army out of the north that would capture them and take them away. And that's exactly what happened. And now they are discouraged, perhaps depressed, wondering, are they going to make it? What does the future hold? What will our nation even look like in the days ahead? Where everything that we thought was going this direction in a positive way has been turned on its end, and we still don't know what's going to happen. And Isaiah chapter 40 starts out with three imperatives to the people of Christ. The first one is this, verse 1. Look at it very quickly. He says, right off the bat, comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord hand double from all her sin. First of all, there's a call for God's people that in the midst of this, that our responsibility is to come along each other and comfort, encourage, support, build up one another. How? Tenderly. The word there literally says, speak to their heart. This is not a time to say, buck up, Betty. This is not a time, a situation that says, just pull yourself together. This is a time to come alongside of each other with tenderness and speak to each other's hearts in comfort, reminding them of these three things. We win the war. Yeah, we're in the battle, but the war is won. The warfare is ended. Your sins are forgiven. And there's no more condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Hey, people of God, yeah, it's a battle out there, but we win. And you've won. And yeah, you may be stumbling, and you may even be frustrated with your own inability to continue in this walk with Christ. God forgives you. God loves you. And God does not condemn you. He may discipline. Right? But he doesn't condemn. He doesn't punish. Fine line there, right? We as parents tread that line sometimes, right? Sometimes our discipline with our kids sounds and looks more like punishment with our kids. But God's tender. Loving. Intimate. I love that word, speak tenderly. It's actually used of Boaz as he speaks to Ruth in that relationship in the book of Ruth. And you can see that intimacy. So comfort. Comfort one another. It's what the body of Christ needs to be doing on a regular basis. When you come into these doors, one of your roles, one of your responsibilities, as it were, to see people that are weighted down by this world all week long and come alongside them. And remind them, God loves you. God forgives you. You're going to make it. Keep going. There's another imperative. Let's look down to verse 6. A voice says, cry. And I say, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely the people are grass. Wait a minute. We're supposed to come along in comfort and encourage. We should have just ended there. Now he's saying we need to cry. We say, well, what should we cry? You're like grass. And grass withers and fades and falls apart and loses its beauty. Be encouraged now. Let's go home. Right? Does anybody need to be reminded of that? Has anybody looked in the mirror recently? Right? We're all fading. I think that's why he says cry. Cry. Cry the people. That we are people. Nothing more. Isn't that what happened to Christ when he looked out on the multitudes? Remember in the Gospels there? He was moved with compassion. He looked up on the multitudes because what? They were sheep. Without a shepherd, helplessly and hopelessly lost. That's us. We are people, and we will fade. Any records done today will be replaced by records tomorrow. Any achievements done today are going to be replaced by achievements the next generation or the next generation brings on. Our life expectancy is only this long, and when that is over, it's over on this earth. and it fades.
I think some of you, I've told you before about my 95-year-old dad, 95 years old.
Great shape. Walks without any cane, has no hearing aid, has no glasses,
has no memory. We moved him last year in April to a kind of an assisted living. It's been 2 years since my mom passed away. They were married 75 years. He has a girlfriend. Now some of you say, oh great, good for him, right? It's weird. He was married to my mom for 75 years. That was the love of his life. And now to see him walking down the hallway with this cute young 78-year-old holding hands. I walked in on them the other day. They're sitting in the lobby or the fireside room watching a movie, blanket over both of them with their hands. I said, show me your hands. Acted just like they did when I was dating. You put your hands above that blanket. The siblings, there's four of us, we had a Zoom call the other day, and we're all kind of struggling with this. But we reminded of this, you know. Even my mom, who we love, that is kind of faded and gone. Not that he doesn't love her anymore or remembers her, but he's kind of moving on in life. And, you know, he may call her the wrong name. Every time I ask, what's her name? He tells me a different name. I don't think it's a different woman. Maybe, I don't know. But we are to remind each other. We are to cry out to each other that we're simply humans. And we will fade. Comfort each other. Cry out to each other. And then verse 9. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem. Herald of good news, lift it up. Fear not. Say to the cities of Judah. We're to comfort, cry. Now we're to call out. What are we supposed to do? Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arms rule for him. Sun's out, guns out. Look up. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flocks like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs of his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with him young. He who measures the waters in the hollow of his hands. He says, okay, we comfort each other. We remind them of the important things that we battle, but the war is won. Sins are forgiven. Punishment's gone. Then we cry because we're all in this mess together. And then we cry out. We call out, hey, focus. Behold, take your eyes off of this world and look to God. Because he's a great God. I love this. He measures the waters in the hollow of his hand. That's how great he is. They say the Great Lakes contain over 5,400 cubic miles of water. That's just the Great Lakes. The entire world has 353 quintillion gallons of water. You know what a quintillion is? I don't either. But it has 17 zeros. So God is so great that in the very claw of his hand, there went the Great Lakes. There is the entire body of water right there in his hands, holding it. He marks off the heavens with a span. He marks off the heavens like this, right? From here to here. There's one galaxy there. I just measure it that way, you know. The universe is estimated to be 93 billion light years in diameter. 93 billion. It's about 550 sextillion miles wide. Sextillion, that's 22 zeros. God's got big hands. And he just goes like, boom, right there. We have the All-Star Game, NBA All-Star Game coming to town next weekend. I know everybody's talking about the Super Bowl today, but all of Indianapolis is talking about the All-Star Game, and it's starting Thursday. We have clinics going on Thursday, Friday. We have a big breakfast on Saturday where we'll have close to 2,000 people coming in to hear the testimony. Sage Steele is emceeing that for us. It's going to be a neat event. We have a basketball game Saturday night where we have some Christian all-stars coming in to play some other all-stars. I mean, it's just going to be a really neat opportunity to give some of our professional athletes a platform just to share Christ. Yeah. And you look at some of these athletes, we got one guy, he's like 7'2", and he goes to shake your hand, and your hand's gone. I mean, these guys are huge. They're, you know, that's God's hands. God just measures the universe like that. Palm a basketball, that's no problem. Palm the world, try that. He says, go up on a mountain, lift up your voice with strength. Proclaim with everything you have, hey, look at God. Behold, your God, not just God, your God, my God. We need to be directing people's attention away from the news and up to the God, right? We need to be telling people, hey, you got a problem? Let me tell you about my God. Let me tell you what he could do for you. Let me tell you what he does in his sleep. He doesn't sleep. It marks off the heaven with a span. He closes the dust of the earth in a measure. He weighed the mountains on scales. He takes mountains and he just, boom. Well, let's see how much this weighs for fun. Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord? Or what man can show him his counsel? This is kind of like the language of Job, right? Job, where were you when I built the dinosaurs? Where were you, Leviathan, when I thought of that one? Can you give counsel to me? He says, who taught him the path of justice, taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from the bucket and are counted as dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastland like fine dust. Lebanon would not suffice for fuel, nor are its beasts enough for a burnt offering. You want to worship God, you don't have enough in you. There's not enough wood to build an altar worthy of God. To whom then will you liken God? Or what not likeness compares with him? An idol? Are you kidding me? A craftsman casts it and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts it in silver chains? He who is too impoverished for an offering chooses wood that would not rot. He seeks out a skillful craftsman to set it up an idol that it would not move. To whom then will you compare to me? That I should be like him, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created this. He who brings out the host by numbers, calling them all by name. I can't even keep my kids straight. And he's got a name for all of them. All the stars. All the things. Are you getting a glimpse of how big God is? He who gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increased strength. Now we're getting into our verse. We're finally getting to it. Hey, even you shall faint and be weary. I mean, those people in our culture that we think have the strength just to go, they're going to faint. They're going to fall exhausted. But they who wait on for the Lord shall renew their strength. But you who wait on the Lord shall renew your strength. But me, when I wait on the Lord, I'll renew my strength. So we better figure out what that word wait means. Right? Confess that for most of my life, I thought it meant just wait, kind of passive, kind of put my hope, I think some translations translate, just kind of be patient, just kind of sit back, kind of that Psalm, was it 46:10, be still and know that I am God, right? Maybe I get too anxious. Just wait, Todd. If you look at the word itself, the word is kava, which is, means nothing to most of us, but at the core of that, it means twisted, bound, endured. Strands of cord are roped together. Now let me preface this illustration. I'm going to give an illustration. And I don't want any men, based upon this illustration, think that they have the ability to go home and rewire your house. Okay? I know nothing about electricity. I just tell you that right. I do know that occasionally there is a hot wire. And if you take a wire that's not hot and you put them together, sparks will happen, right? I know that much. And I know that this wire is dead, has nothing, it's not living up to its purpose. It has nothing in it. You can touch people with it. You can do anything. But when you connect it to this wire, which is hot, good things or bad things can happen. Right? Follow me? So if you take this thing and you twist it and you reach into your pocket and you pull out of a thingamajig or a doohickey, I don't know what they're called, they're a thing, and you take the hot wire and the cold wire, I don't know what you call it, you put them together,
You take this and you put it on top and you twist it. Twist a little bit more. Then maybe get some electrical tape that the electricity, the energy, the power that is in this wire gets transferred into this wire, and this now is hot. Are you following me? That apart from being connected, this wire can wait all it wants, but it's not going to get power unless it's connected with the doohickey, the thingamajig. What are these called? Thank you. I knew there was somebody back there the whole time saying wire nut, wire nut. The guy doesn't even know it's called a wire nut, and I just want to tell him that. The wire nut, that makes sense. Wires, nut, okay. I am Fellowship of Christian Athletes, not brain surgeons. There's a reason. Or electricians, yeah. That's not shocking anybody. Thank you. You're coming up on the drums. So here's the illustration. They that wait upon the Lord really means those that are twisted with Christ, are woven with God, that are put together, bound with Jesus, they will renew their strength. That strength does not come just by sitting here hoping, waiting, God, give me strength. It comes when you and I get intimately connected, twisted on tight with God, and then it's His strength that is flowing in us and through us to give us our strength. Amen. Isn't that what John 15 says?
That's right.
I am the vine, you are the
branches.
Apart from me, you can do
nothing.
You are like a wire over here that's not connected. And you get one of these wire nuts. Maybe we call this God's word. Then we'll mount up with wings like eagles. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The word renew is very interesting. Let's just stop there for a second, because we kind of give the idea that this is a cup of coffee. This is a Red Bull. I just kind of get a shot in the arm. That I can just get a boost of energy here. That's not what renewed strength means. It literally means shall exchange their strength, shall replace their strength, shall gain new strength. Exchanging our weakness for His strength. We are bound together, right? In such a way that it is His strength that is now flowing through us, not our strength. The stuff that is required to live life, I don't have the strength for. The stuff that God wants me to do, I'll never have enough strength for. I'll never have enough power for. Standing up for Christ in a public school and taking a stand, you can't do it on your own strength. Walking into an office that is antagonist against God and His word and His authority in Scripture, you don't have the ability, maybe for one day, but not grow weary in it. You don't have the power in you. You're a dead piece. when you get connected, it's His power. We'll mount up with it, renew their strength. It's His power that allows you to mount up with wings like eagles. It's His power that allows you to run and not grow weary. It's His power that allows you to walk and not faint. It's not, okay, thank you, God. Sunday was good. Now I feel a boost of energy. Got my coffee, my spiritual coffee. I'm ready to go. And on Wednesday night, I'm going to take an energy drink to make it through the rest of the week. It's that constantly bound in Christ, that it's His strength in me and through me to do what He's called me to do. What He's called you to do, you can't do on your own strength. What He's called this church to do, you guys can't do it on your own strength. Because He's called you guys to change Fort Wayne. He's called you to impact these neighborhoods. He's called you to walk across the field and to reach people for Christ. Amen. You don't have the strength in you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. There's an illustration of a boy who came to his dad and said, "Dad, God just seems so small. I've got big problems. And I'm having problems. He's not hearing me. He just seems so small." And the dad wisely said, "Let's get in the car, son. Let's go." And as they're driving, they notice a plane up in the sky. And I said, "See that plane up there?" I said, "Yeah. Doesn't look very big, does it? Not that big, you know. Doesn't look very fast. Doesn't look very powerful, does it? Just floating around." He pulled his car right up to the gate of the runway and sat there as the big plane came flying right over it to touch down. The whole car shook. And he said, "You know, God may seem small. Maybe you're not very close to God. Plane, the closer you get to it, the bigger it feels. Got to get connected with God." Remember that illustration of Atlas? Us? Some of you, through the sermon, you've even gone down a notch. At Rockefeller Center, there's a church right across the street. I think it's called St. Patrick's Cathedral. If you walk across from that statue, across the street, enter the building, enter the sanctuary, up on the high altar back there, there's another statue. The statue is the Christ child, Jesus. He's not straining. He's not weighted down. He's standing straight up, big old smile face, and his hands are out, and in this hand, there's a ball. Seems to be playing with this, just stretched out there. And as you walk down that aisle and you kind of peer back, you said, "That's not a ball. That's a globe. That's the world. He's got the whole world in his hands." Sister. Got the whole world in his hands. He just wants us to be so connected with him that He's the one holding us up. They that wait upon the Lord shall, will, definitely renew their strength. Replace it with God's strength. And they will mount up with wings like eagles. Weary person, you can run and not be weary. Tired person, you can walk and not faint. It all depends on what you're connected to. Let's pray. Father, you're a good God. And I thank you that you are a loving, kind, tender God that wants us to have comfort, that wants us to understand our own limitations, and wants us to stay focused on your greatness. Help us. Because we have a lot to do in this culture that we live in. We have a lot to do in the schools that we attend, the businesses that we walk into, the neighbors that we know. We have a great task, and be completely transparent with you, God, we can't do it. So please do it through us by first working in us. And I pray in Jesus' name.